John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my sayings. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. And don't read verse 10. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as once again I come before you as humbly as I know how. Dear Heavenly Father, asking for your permission to preach, dear Heavenly Father, not for fame or reputation, but to glorify you. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask at this time that you remove me so that they see none of me, but all of you. Hide me behind the cross, dear Lord, because you are my strength and my redeemer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you continue to be with us as this day goes on. These things we ask in your darling son, Jesus' name, and for his sake. Amen. Let us look briefly at the man to whom these words were addressed. His name was Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee, which means that he was a religious man. The Pharisees were very strict in their religious practices. Nicodemus was a ruler in the synagogue. Jesus called him a master of Israel. John 3 and 10. He was no ordinary man. He was religious, respected, refined, well-educated, and he held a position of importance in the nation of Israel. Furthermore, this man was no hypocrite. You will notice that not once in his conversation with Nicodemus did Jesus ever remotely suggest that hypocrites was involved. He was sincere, seeking of the truth. And Jesus knew the heart of Nicodemus as he knows the heart of all of us today. Nicodemus confirmed that he knew Jesus was a teacher from God, his miraculous teachings, that he was a godly man. And Nicodemus knew enough about God to know that the things Jesus was doing were not the works of any ordinary man. This ruler of Israel had a hunger in his heart. He was religious, but religion did not satisfy him. He was a master in Israel, but his office and learning did not satisfy the longing of his soul. He heard about this great teacher, heard about his wonderful words of life, so he sought him out. And Jesus never turned a deaf ear to man's plea if that man was sincerely seeking the things of God. So we find that here is Nicodemus. Nicodemus is an educated man. He's a religious man. But yet and still, here he is. He's looking for Jesus because something is missing in his life. And he knew that because something was missing, he had to find the answer. And the only one who had the answer was Jesus. When Nicodemus acknowledged Jesus as a teacher coming from God, Jesus replied, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This means any man, all men, even you and me, and also Nicodemus. In other words, Nicodemus, you are a religious man, you are an educated man, and you have a position of authority among the religious leaders of Israel. So it is not religion that you need, it is not teaching that you need. You need to be born again. Now, if Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs to be born again, what makes us an exception? Are we an exception to that rule? Are we any different than Nicodemus? Except for we may not be head of the synagogue. But in order to communicate or have a relationship with God, Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again. As a teacher in Israel, this man knew the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. Prophecy dealing with the coming of the Messiah. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament scripture, but he did not understand them. A learned man in religion, he did not need teaching as much as he needed enlightenment. In other words, he needed to obey the teachings he had already had. It is evident that Nicodemus was thinking in terms of the natural rather than the spiritual. He asked, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" There is no sarcasm here. Nicodemus is not being sarcastic. He is only thinking with a natural mind. He's not thinking with a spiritual mind. He's thinking the way you and I think naturally. When you hear the phrase, "You must be born again," the first thing that comes to mind is, "I have to re-enter my mother's womb and come back out again? How can this be?" But see, then Jesus had to let him know, "Nicodemus, there's another way to look at this thing. You have to look at it through spiritual eyes." Nicodemus was sincere. He was seeking the answer to what seemed to be impossible. Jesus realized the sincerity of his question and explained that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. In spite of his learning and his religious training, Nicodemus had never grasped the meaning of the miracles of God, the supernatural power to give a spiritual birth to people, even when they are old. See, in other words, it doesn't matter how old you are, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, then you are reborn. Then that's your birthday. See, you have two birthdays. You have your physical birthday and you have your spiritual birthday. Like Nicodemus, most religions go no further than the realm of the natural. Religion of works, religion of do's and don'ts, and are spreading over the world like wildfire. The masses want to see something or feel something. You notice that? If you talk to people, well, I went to that church and I didn't feel anything, or I didn't see anything. See, because of the simple fact, if you did go to that church for those particular reasons, you went for the wrong reason anyway. They are not willing to accept the gift of God. God's salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pure religion of Christianity is to reach the masses. Because Matthew tells us in 20 and 19, chapter 28 and 19 and 20, he tells us that we must go and make disciples. He didn't say we had to sit in here. He said, go. He said, get out. Go out there where they are. Step by step, Jesus leads Nicodemus into the light of salvation, the miracle of the new birth. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus of the movement of the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell if it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everybody born of the Spirit. John 3 and 8. We do not understand the wind. We do not know where it comes from nor where it goes, but we accept the fact of the wind. So it is with the new birth. We do not have to understand it to accept it as fact. Excuse me. Jesus further explains to Nicodemus with the illustration of the serpents in the wilderness. In fact, with this teaching of Israel's would certainly have been afraid. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, 14 and 15. This brought light to the soul. Excuse me. This brought light to the soul of Nicodemus. He knew the history of his own people and understood the reference to the bronze serpent lifted up in the wilderness. When the violent serpents had bitten the Israelites, the only requirement was that they look and live. those who looked upon the bronze serpent lived. Those who refused to look died. Real simple. Moses told them that if you look on the serpent, if you've been bit, if you just look up at the serpent on the stick, you'll live. And they still were some of them that was too hard-hearted to even look up. To look up and save their own life. Those who refused to look died. So the power of the Old Testament gospel brought light to the heart of Nicodemus. He saw it, he believed it, and if he was not saved that very night, he certainly became a learner of the truth and was saved at a later date. The Bible does not tell us if Nicodemus was saved that night or not. But we do know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a member of the synagogue. He was described by Jesus as a teacher of Israel, implying he was well trained in the Old Testament law and translation. Nicodemus was a wealthy, educated, and powerful man. Well respected by the people and a descendant of the patriarch Abraham. It was Nicodemus who later defended the Lord before the Pharisees by asking them, "Doeth our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he doeth?" John 7:51. It was also Nicodemus who came with Joseph of Arimathea and asked Pilate for the dead body of the crucified Christ that they might prepare it for burial and lay it in Joseph's new tomb. Perhaps Nicodemus displayed a look of adoration. Atonement when Jesus told him the absolute divine necessity to being born again if he would enter the kingdom of God. He was clear in his manner of life. He was honest and upright in character. He was religious and respectable. Was it possible that he needed something more than this in order to enter heaven? John tells us plainly that he must be, or we must be, born again. There is enough gospel in these passages to save the entire world if the world would only believe the truth of these passages. We are saved by receiving Jesus. Note, as many as received him, taking in everyone and excluding no one. Then we also note that to those who receive Jesus, God gives the power of the new birth. Man cannot earn or merit the power of becoming a child of God, nor can the power be bought. The new birth comes through the miraculous power of the Almighty God, and he furnishes this power when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is by nature a child of wrath, Ephesians 2:3, totally depraved. But when we are born into heaven, the heavenly family, we have a new nature. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having accepted the corporation that is in the word through lust. 1 Peter 1:4. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming anew. 2 Corinthians 5:17. See, as soon as we accept Jesus as our Savior, Bible tells us we become anew. It says, old things have passed away. In other words, those things you used to enjoy doing before you were saved, you shouldn't want to do anymore. I know it sounds hard. Believe me, because I was one of those hard-headed people too. It took me a while to understand and realize that God had a better plan for me. See, the only thing the world had in mind for me was destruction. And for some strange reason, every time it seems like I wanted to choose the world. And it seems like each time I chose the world, the Lord's punishment got a little bit more severe. You know, it wasn't enough that I was pistol whipped. You know, some people, that would have changed their minds right then and there. That didn't do it. It wasn't enough that he saved my life from a car accident. But after I was stabbed those 16 times, then he had my attention. See, my brother-in-law asked me, he said, did you read your horoscope today? I said, no. It said you should have stayed away from sharp objects. I said, all right. I said, okay, got you. But that came from being, like I said, from being hard-headed. But once I accepted Christ as my Savior, those things that I used to do, I didn't want to do. I still go and see those people that I used to hang out with, but I don't have that desire anymore. When I see them now, and they see me coming, they put away the liquor bottles and all that other good stuff. And here come that holy roller, let's hide this. And I said, man, you know, I'm not going to stop you from doing what you're doing. I said, but if you accept God as your Savior, he'll help you. You know, needless to say, I really don't hang out with them as much as I used to. Because it ain't no fun. You know, when everybody, you go around people and they start putting stuff away in their house. You know, you're at home, man. You know, if you're at home and you can't enjoy yourself, there's a problem. So, why am I trying to drive home to you, to your heart? What I'm trying to drive home to you in your heart is this. You must be born again if you hope to enter heaven. Always keep in mind that what God demands, God provides. Whatever he requires of you, he makes it possible for you to do. The new birth God is provided by him, and his word emphasizes that need. Therefore, thou art exceedingly, old man. 2:1. This has been called one of the most important passages in the word of God, because it gives God's divine authority of redemption. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I'm asking you now, how have you been born again? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God? If you do not know that you are saved, you surely, as you know that you are breathing, I urge you to get down on your knees before God and tell him that you repent of your sins and you ask him to save you. He will save you this moment and you will know it. So I ask you again, if you were to die right now at this very moment, do you know where you'll spend eternity? If you cannot answer that question, then I suggest you meet me here at the altar so I can help you on that journey to get to know God as your Savior. Because I look at it like this. It would be a shame to sit here and hear the word of God today and walk out this door and get hit by a car and not be saved. It's not promised. Now, if you want to take that chance, that's your choice. But I'm asking, if you don't know him as your Savior, come to the altar now. As my pastor and Gary used to say, we have done as the Lord has commanded, and there is still room. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a man of your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you take the time out to watch over me, a hopeless sinner. Heavenly Father, I ask that you continue to watch over this church and this body. These things I ask in your darling son, Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.